The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good. Glorious Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Brian Ortega in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin this morning. Good morning to you, Brian. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Gil. It's always beautiful to be on.
It is always early. It's always beautiful to have you. It's a packed morning, but next week when you're here with us, we love when Brian is here. We take advantage of his Oscars expertise, his very, I hope you won't object to this, his very sort of almost borderline snobby cinematic Oscar expertise, along with his great knowledge of television shows and restaurants here in Vegas. How about that?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Gil. I always love it.
I knew you would. JVT is on line one, by the way. I'd like to talk to you as well. We'll do that. Before we get into everything, because we have a packed show, NBA draft, obviously, front and center, which we'll get in here momentarily. John Legace on baseball. Ben Wilson, what a college baseball game last night. Honestly, that with apologies to Florida, that should have been the championship game last night, because that was unbelievable. But Drew Dinsick will be here to talk basketball with us and review the draft yesterday, as will Nick Whalen from RotoWire, Adam Finkelstein from CBS Sports HQ, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We'll do it all this morning. Real quick, I want to get this in. If you're a VSiN subscriber and you're at the VSiN.com/picks page, I have three tennis picks this morning, two of which are in the same match. It's about to go off on the ladies' side. It's Kudermetova against Alexandrova. It's Veronica Kudermetova against Ekaterina Alexandrova. I am on Kudermetova. I got her at minus 119 last night. It was on the picks page at minus 119. If you can get her below minus 130, it's still a play. But by the time we're here on the air this morning, I'm seeing a lot that are into the minus 130s. I would not play it at those prices. If you do it, you're going a little rogue on me, but I got her at Kudermetova at minus 119. If you can play her in the minus 120s, have at it. I also have the total over 22.5 in that match. That you can certainly still play. Alexandrova and Kudermetova, who are about to start. And then a little later on, a dog play. I got Talent Greek Sport at plus 173. I'm seeing plus 158 within 15 cents. Absolutely okay on the plus side. Talent Greek Sport going up against Andrei Rublev. Those are your tennis picks this morning. Now, front and center, the NBA draft. Oh, what a glorious day it was yesterday. Congratulations to everybody who is a listener to this show and everybody who tailed on Brandon Miller to go number two, not just listeners of this show, but anybody who had Brandon Miller. Certainly everybody here did. I did. Kelly did. Vegas Refund. Luke Swain did. JVT did earlier in the week. All of our NBA draft folks stuck with Brandon Miller at number two. And that's what happened yesterday. Victor Wembanyama, of course, goes to the San Antonio Spurs at number one, a generational player, best prospect since LeBron. But Brandon Miller from Alabama ends up going to Charlotte at number two. Scoot Henderson from the G League's Ignite here in Vegas goes to the Portland Trailblazers at three. Amen and Asar Thompson go 4 and 5. The Thompson twins, hold me down, Brian. But this day yesterday was unbelievable from just one of these moments in time in the arc of certainly VSiN, as long as we've been on the air, and one of these moments in time that we will remember for many years to come when it comes to sports betting, as we do, say, McGregor Mayweather as its own thing, as we did the Paulo Banchero call last year as its own thing, Tankapalooza, the Atlanta Braves cascade of picks last year, IGA so many times, you get the idea. This was one of these moments yesterday where I never wavered on Brandon Miller going number two, and in fact, piled on. Let's start at the beginning. We got off the air yesterday. Remember, Kelly and I were on air 24 hours ago, and Brandon Miller was the favorite to go number two in the NBA draft. He had started the show in the high minus 300s. By the end of the show, he had sort of drifted into the low or mid minus 200s as still the favorite to go number two in the NBA draft last night. And so we were keeping an eye on it. We had crack on. We kept interjecting like, oh, here's what Brandon Miller's number is. We get off the air at 8:56 a.m. Pacific. By the time 9:30 rolled around and I was at home, much had happened. Shams Charania, who is famously, among his other jobs, also works over at on FanDuel TV. Shams Charania at 9:13 a.m. put out this tweet. Sources, Scoot Henderson is gaining serious momentum at number two with the Charlotte Hornets in tonight's NBA draft. Hornets have been torn over the last week between Henderson and Brandon Miller. Team has final meetings today to settle on decision. So he was at DraftKings, and now I did the whole timeline yesterday. I logged all of this because I'm a shugana, but I wanted to do this because I kind of figured I knew where this was going to end. Turns out I was right, but it could have gone against me, but I did it anyway. So by 9:39 a.m., Scoot had become the minus 360 favorite at DraftKings. Miller had flipped to the plus 205 dog. And it remained, more or less a big Scoot favorite. It drifted a little down into the 200s, but Scoot was still a big favorite up until about, 12:10 p.m. He still was a big favorite. And Adrian Wojnarowski, who famously 2 days ago, when I made my first five bets on Brandon Miller, 2 days ago had come on ESPN and said right after one of the college baseball games, the Hornets have solidified their position, his word, solidified their position on drafting Brandon Miller. That's what it triggered my bets, five of them the other day. He came on at 12:10 p.m. yesterday. This is with the betting markets having Scoot now as a massive favorite, and he doubled down on his position, doubled down on it. And at that point, when he doubled down, by the way, when I say doubled down, he like looked into the camera, Brian, almost like staring down Shams, his rival, in terms of breaking news. And I was convinced at that point. I went back to the original Shams tweet that caused all of this. Because what I thought to myself was, there was probably some bettors during our show yesterday who just on the basis of big plus money were like, we're going to take some Scoot at big plus money. And then Shams, whether he knew about that market moving or not, or whether he just wanted to inject himself into the story, I was convinced that he did that. And it was kind of, if you look at that tweet, because you say gaining momentum, the way that Shams wrote that, it was almost like he was free rolling the audience, literally. Because if Scoot did go number two, when he said Scoot's gaining momentum at number two, then he would be right and he'd get all the glory. But he has an out by just saying, gaining momentum. He wasn't really calling a shot. So at that point, I convinced myself, I'm like, Woj is right. And remember, I went against Woj last year with Banchero. I picked Banchero to go number one. I bet Banchero heavily to go number one. It was huge for all of us who did. That was the one time Woj was wrong. But instead of everybody seemed to be piling on Woj, well, he was wrong last year. He's likely to be wrong this year. No, I sort of thought Shams was the guy that was posing on this. And I do mean posing, because Woj couldn't have been more definitive. So at 12:10 p.m., I bet Brandon Miller again, plus 174 to go number two. 4 minutes later at 12:14, I bet him at plus 200. By the way, if you don't believe me, talk to Will Hill, talk to Chris Felica, talk to Drew Dinsick. I could not have been more resolute in all of this. So the day goes on. By the way, Woj ends up happening to beat, Shams by 30 seconds on the report of the Chris Paul to the Warriors trade, which was just sort of a funny aside. But at 1:07 p.m. Pacific, Jonathan Givony's final mock draft has Miller going number two as well. And so that solidifies my thinking and my position as well at that moment. And the day goes on. At 1:15 p.m., Bookmaker, one of the offshore pillars, briefly takes down number two, the number two market. So you're like, okay. Because the only thing at that point that could beat those of us that had Brandon Miller number two was a trade. A trade would have beaten us. Like, if somebody had given the Hornets this massive offer to get number two, that team that's trading in would probably have taken Scoot. So that was the only thing we were really betting against, in my humble opinion, at that point. And sure enough, not only did the trade not happen, but then the market moved. And boy, did it move. By 3 p.m. Pacific, Miller was a minus 210 favorite. From minus 120 to minus 165 to minus 180 to minus 210. This is all in the 2 o'clock p.m. hour yesterday. It did briefly go to, it got as high as minus 270 on some credit accounts. By the way, on credit accounts in the morning, minus 750s on Scoot were being reported by some people. This was now as high on Miller as minus 270 at 3:22 p.m. It did go down just a tick a bit after that. There was a little last Scoot surge in the market, and then Miller soared. By 4:24 p.m., Miller was back to a minus 280 favorite, and then last I saw a minus 324 favorite. And in fact, Brandon Miller goes number two to the Charlotte Hornets at number two. And congratulations once again to everybody who bet it. And really, I want to say thank you to all the books that booked the NBA draft, just like we thank them for the ones that do the NFL draft. The drafts, and this gets to a more macro, so why do I say all of this? This gets to a more macro betting discussion, which is, again, there are sports you're going to, if you are so inclined, if you want to be serious about sports betting, that one day you may originate. I originate tennis. The picks that I gave this morning, I originate all my tennis picks. That I do by numbers. That I do by data. I do that pre-flop. That's one way to bet sports. There's obviously different ways where you can, we talk about college basketball, specifically we in-game bet college basketball and the total based on pace. Todd Wishnev is a master at doing that kind of thing. There's all kinds of ways, but drafts are informational. And the NFL draft this year was a loser. We said one of these days we're going to run into a draft that's a loser. And finally, the NFL draft this year was that. But all the other NFL drafts were fabulous winners, and now the NBA drafts, one after another, have been big winners. And the lesson in this, more than anything, is have your conviction, have your resolution, be a bit of a poker player. Look for tells when you see on these volatile markets, on draft days specifically, because now we've gotten to a point where it's so liquid and everybody, you know, the big shops like DraftKings are booking these now, that these markets are liable to do this a lot. Certain big markets in particular drafts, last night obviously it was for the number two pick that was had all eyes on it in terms of betting. But be a bit of a poker player, read tells. In the end, also with Shams, let me just say this. Because he works for a network at another sports book, I do think it needs to be brought up. Not only were you free rolling your audience, not only did it seem like you were injecting yourself, and by the way, Woj stomping all over him in a tweet later in the day, all the way through Charlotte was going to pick Brandon Miller. But it does sort of bring up a little bit of a conflict of interest thing where it's like, hey, dude, why did you say it that way? Did you want to move something one way or the other? I don't know. I'm just saying, questions can be raised from that, so he shouldn't leave himself open to that. We'll come back. We'll talk more basketball. Nick Whalen from RotoWire, winners and losers next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We also hit the under 5.5 on Asar Thompson. Had him at plus money. Mentioned it on the show yesterday that I got at plus 139. When we were on the show yesterday, it was about minus 106. Recommended that bet. I hope people took it. By the time the draft happened, Asar Thompson to go under 5.5 was minus 280. So I hope folks jumped on that as well. Drew hit everything. We'll talk to him a little later on the show, Drew Densick. And I really, man, I just want to drive home that last point that I made here right before the break. And for those who are like, wait, but didn't Woj? Woj doesn't work for a sports book. Woj works at a mainstream media company. He's just breaking news. So like last year, he's allowed to be wrong. Everybody's wrong at times. Sorry, if you're waiting around, waiting for all of us to be wrong at some point, you will get your moment. Trust me. We're all wrong at some points. Man's allowed to make a mistake. But I don't know. It was a little odd yesterday. And by noon, it was clear anyway to some of us. At least it was clear to me that that Shams thing was completely vague and, dare I say, well, I won't even use the word shady, but it was certainly suspect. Let's put it that way. Nick Whalen joins us from RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Whalen, but substitute the L with the number one. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. Doing great, man. Didn't get a ton of sleep last night. Obviously, you know, the NBA draft went until basically midnight Central Time out here in Wisconsin. Had a bunch of stuff to do coverage-wise for RotoWire, but this is in my top three, you know, favorite sports sites of the year. So always a lot of fun and, yeah, looking forward to looking at the futures market here and discussing some of the fallout.
Well, let me riff on that just for a second before we get to your betting thoughts. So we're obviously in the Pacific time zone here in Vegas. The first round doesn't end till 11:15 p.m. So it's 8:15 p.m. So it's 11:15 p.m. East Coast. That's when the second round starts. If you don't have bets on this, it is an impossible watch. Because unlike the NFL draft, we haven't seen all the players, right? So And by the way, I had bets up until the fifth pick. After that, I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll see who else gets picked, and I'll ask experts who know more of Fitz, and we'll get their betting thoughts tomorrow. But just from a sheer, let's say we had no bets, from a sheer standpoint of watching, the LSU Wake game in college baseball was so much better. Shouldn't ESPN at least separate the first and second rounds on different nights, or just not televise the second round? It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost 3.5 hours of the first round last night. And, you know, each team is on the clock for 5 minutes, but the clock expires and then they go to commercial for right. 4 more minutes.
Yes.
And then the pick is still not quite in. I mean, it was crazy. I actually went back and looked. I mean, we were like 25 minutes behind schedule compared to last year's draft, which I remember felt like a long draft. So, yeah, I mean, in theory, you know, it should be a quicker process than the NFL draft where they have more time on the clock. But yeah, especially, you know, outside of the lottery, it felt like this thing was just dragging on and on and on. And look, I mean, for people like us, like, I'm going to watch no matter what. I love the NBA draft so much. I love college basketball. I want to see, you know, it's kind of a moment in time if you consider yourself an NBA historian. So I want to be there for the entire thing and see if anything crazy happens. But yeah, if you're a casual fan, I mean, that is almost an impossible ask to sit there and sit through 58 total picks.
It is an impossible ask. But for the basketball heads among us, who are, you know, looking to see, okay, where did the needle move? Obviously, Victor Wembanyama going to the Spurs, but that was already baked in to whatever the markets feel about the San Antonio Spurs was already baked into Victor Wembanyama props. Was there any move yesterday? Well, let's start with the trade before we get to draft picks. Chris Paul to the Warriors, where Jordan Poole goes the other way to the Washington Wizards. To you, was that a positive for the Warriors or a negative?
I think it's a slight positive, but, you know, I think at this point in his career, you know, Chris Paul is just a much bigger name than he is a producer. And, you know, I think Golden State is really going all in on an older build. We're assuming they're going to bring back Draymond Green, although I don't know that that's a guarantee. I think they're going to face some competition for Draymond in the open market, but I think he comes back. And, you know, like, I'm never against teams adding high level Hall of Fame talent, but, you know, when that talent is almost 39 years old, it becomes increasingly risky. And I just don't love the fit for Chris Paul in Golden State. Is he the backup point guard? Is he playing alongside Steph Curry? You know, if you're doing that, then all of a sudden, I guess Klay Thompson's playing the three and, you know, somebody's getting squeezed out of that starting lineup. You know, in theory, you want Chris Paul on your team. I totally get that. Maybe they really pull back on his workload and he plays 55 games and 25 minutes a night. Like, he's at that point in his career where he could kind of be, you know, Jason Kidd on the Mavericks. I think that's the blueprint, but you know, even if you're, let's say you're in the NBA finals, can you get away with playing Chris Paul and Stephen Curry 35 minutes together in a situation like that? Like, I don't know if you can. So I think to me, this was more about Golden State, you know, trying to dodge that extreme luxury tax that they were going to be in, getting off that Jordan Poole contract and getting an asset back. Chris Paul definitely helps them. But look, if I'm Denver, if I'm Phoenix, you know, even the Lakers, I don't look and say like, oh no, we can't beat the Warriors with Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think you said it right at the beginning. I think it's an incremental gain upwards, but I do agree with you. Like, I think Chris Paul becomes a change-up player for them. Like, I don't think it's the offense with Chris Paul. It's like, okay, now for something a little different, right? And it's the Chris Paul version of the Warriors at that point. But listen, those guys are smarter basketball people than we are, so they've obviously figured out something with that, or at least they have a theory about it. So we'll see how that goes. What about a team off most people's radar that really improved in the draft yesterday that you might actually think should induce a bet? And I'll give you one option here, and you'll tell me what you think about them, and then you can tell me who you think. But one is, you know, the Houston Rockets, to me, I don't know if you think they'll threaten for an NBA title, but maybe to make the playoffs. Amen Thompson goes to them fourth, and then Cam Whitmore drops all the way to them at 20, which, say what you will about Cam Whitmore and the absolute volatility of where everybody thought he might or might not go in the draft, but that's a steal at 20, according to most.
Yeah, Houston did well last night. No question about it. You know, would I bet them at 350-1 to win the title? Not necessarily.
No.
Yeah, most folks, you'll probably have to wait a little bit to get those, you know, playoff yes, no odds, win totals, things like that. But no, I think Houston got a lot better. And Houston has also given us indications that they want to add some veterans to this roster. Like, you know, could be James Harden, but even if it's not, I think they're going to kind of make sure that they're not this like 20 win team that's just, you know, playing AAU ball like they have been for the last couple of years. So I think they do want to make the playoffs. I think they obviously they have, you know, a core of young players. They're trying to develop Jalen Green, Amon Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Jabari Smith, you know, last year's top three picks. So it's still a youth movement, but I think they want this to be more of a controlled environment with some professionals around those guys going forward. So I don't think it's crazy to think Houston could push for a play-in spot next season. The thing is, though, Gil, like, there, to me, the Wizards are really the only true tanking team right now. And maybe between, you know, now and October that changes, but I think both conferences are going to be really competitive again. And there's not this prize of Victor Wembanyama dangling out there where you have teams like San Antonio and Charlotte and Detroit and Houston just packing it in from day one. Like, I think all these teams kind of are convincing themselves that they could be okay next season. Now, you know, the Charlotte Hornets don't think they're winning the title, but you know, internally they're thinking, man, if Brandon Miller's good right away, maybe we could be the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference. So given that environment, it's going to be, I think, more difficult than usual to even get into that play-in zone, because 29 out of 30 teams think they can do it.
Where was there a bet that leapt to mind? Were you like, okay, this team, I could see myself making a bet on this team to do whatever?
You know, I would look at I'm a DraftKings sportsbook guy. The options are still relatively limited there right now. But, you know, I would look at Miami at 14-1 to win the title. You know, I think that Damian Lillard trade is still perhaps hanging out there. And if they get Damian Lillard, if they're able to turn, you know, Tyler Hero and parts and picks into Lillard, I think that team all of a sudden becomes really, really interesting. But the Lillard situation is getting kind of crazy to me, because I don't see this team going into next year with four guards that, you know, three need to be developed. And then one is a 33-year-old superstar, right? Like Shaedon Sharpe, Anfernee Simons, now Scoot Henderson and Damian Lillard. Like that's not tenable whatsoever. I think Damian Lillard ultimately gets traded if he wants to win a title like he claims he does. That's not going to happen in Portland, and certainly not going to happen in Portland in the next year or two. But the question is, you know, if it's a team like Miami, if it's a team like Philly, those are kind of been the big two. You know, Philly is building that deal around Tyrese Maxey, you would think. Miami's building that deal around Tyler Hero, you would think. But if you're Portland, do you want to bring in another guard in that situation? You know, just, you know, kind of replacing Damian Lillard with a younger guard to add to your core of three more younger guards. So that situation to me is going to get really, really messy. But I think the Damian Lillard landing spot is what could ultimately swing some of these title odds for teams that are already contenders or borderline contenders.
Yeah, I thought Jaime Jaquez Jr. to the Heat. My immediate reaction was, what a Heat kind of player he is. Like, this is just so perfect that this is just in their mold. And I will say this, and people can accuse me of being in the tank for the Warriors, and I am, so guilty as charged. But I think Brandon Pajemski at 19 from Santa Clara, if you ever seen him play.
Love it.
It's pretty awesome.
He's a Milwaukee native.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Shout out Milwaukee. Nick Whalen's stomping grounds. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it as always, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire at Whalen. Substitute the number one for the letter L. A little baseball break with John Legace. Hey, Legace's back. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early. Coming out, June 29th, 6 days from now. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets overrun with folks who had Brandon Miller, so I'm just pumped for everybody. This is... I'll just read a few here. Ben Handorf, congratulations again to young Gil and young Kelly Bidlin. A great day for the ANG crew. Thank you so much for that. Rick Mokry, congrats, Gil. Was 2 a male or female number? It's female, by the way, if you're scoring at home. That's a whole story, Brian. We'll tell you about it later. This would be, let's see here. Gilly Eyes cashed those Miller tickets from teasers and parlays. Congrats to everyone that had a bet in the Brandon Miller number 2 overall market. From Incognito Better. This is from, let's see here, Benjamin Schott. I just wanted to say thanks. I kept the faith after the dip and doubled down on Miller at +360 and Scoot at +320 and got some huge hits tonight. He went both ways. Will Hill had asked me late in the day, are you going to take some plus money on Scoot? And I was like, nope, just riding in with Miller. Not interested. I was that sure. The Truth 1980, so happy for you. Glad you went back and betted the fifth time, LOL. Best show. Oh, thank you so much on that. By the way, betted a sixth and seventh yesterday. Moneyline Mac, Top G knocks down another one. Appreciate that. Matt Book Klepto, you are my most trusted name in news. Congrats and thanks. I got plus 180 hours after the show yesterday, and Gil, we trust, man of the people. These are all very nice. Congratulations to all of you. Congratulations to Kelly. Congratulations to Drew, who's going to be on later. Congratulations to Vegas Refund. Vegas Refund went 11-3. Drew, I don't think, missed a damn thing. I really don't. Cascading complete from C. Alexander Black like the Braves last year. Nice hit, pal. Even better sweat yesterday, and on with these. And this one right here about the opening segment, this is from, this is from Jesse Welch. Fantastic rundown, excellent summation, and yet another draft ATM machine. Appreciate the service you provide here, Gilly. You're a gentleman and a school bus. He called me a school bus. I don't know what that means, but he called me a school bus. A gentleman and a school bus. This guy is a gentleman and a school bus as well. And oh, what a school bus he is. John Legace, everybody, joins us. MLB writer at The Athletic, the host to the Call to the Pen show as well. You can follow him on Twitter at John Legace. That's LAGHEZZA. Lag Heza. How you doing, John? Good to see you.
Gil, I missed you. I swear I'm going to be using that autocorrect going forward. Forget gentleman and a scholar. Who wants to be a scholar when you can be a school bus?
Gentleman and a school bus, he called me.
Gentleman, you're a gentleman and a school bus.
That's great. John, what have you been up to? What are you doing? I know you have some intricate modeling you're doing. What are you providing to the people?
Yeah, you know me. I always try and take on, like, the hardest task. I don't know why, man. In Italian, it's testaduro, right? The hard head. And just with the inception of betting, you know, people are getting in trouble. And I've been lucky enough to make my way in that space, and I'll be lucky enough to do content. I know it's pretty easy to show people how to win. I know it sounds silly. I've tried to show people how to lose, but not in the way you think. But just by providing all the data as cheap as I can. You know, you can follow me on Twitter. You'll see it. It's cheap. It's $50 for the whole year, 6 days a week. Just all the modeling to help you just be that lodestar, right, to guide the way so you can see what the computer thinks. But I also give you all the data to decide yourself. You know, I have a knack for making these cheat sheets, and it'll probably save you 12 or 15 Chrome tabs, which can be really annoying. You know, split data and just all the stuff that really matters, advanced stats that maybe not everyone has access to, and just kind of providing to everybody. The feedback's been awesome, in particular from content creators themselves.
Where can they get the information from you?
You follow me on Twitter, the pinned tweet will take you right to it. There's even a free trial. Knock yourself out. You know, obviously for, you know, 20 cents a day or whatever. I'm not doing this for the money. It makes me feel better getting that feedback from people saying, like, wow. You know, sometimes, Gil, the breakdowns of the games we do a day later doesn't really matter. It's happened. But sometimes we can leave people with the feather in the cap that resonates with them. You know, that lesson that they can go forward and go, wow, man, like, I actually learned something here.
John Legace, not providing a man a fish, but teaching them how to fish. That's essentially what I think he's doing.
A culture of fishermen is the goal, right?
I think you are. Okay, I sent you, before we get to today's thoughts,
yeah.
I sent you some adjusted season win totals. Not some, I think I sent them all to you.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on adjusted season win totals for any clubs in Major League Baseball?
Okay, well, first off, you know me, I was the ultimate wet blanket. I was so excited to get a text from you, and I was like, oh, the win totals. And what I mean is, I just don't like to hang up my money for 3 months on a minus 115. Like, the play I'm recommending today is plus 125. So I'd much rather be involved with a plus 125 that has a turnover rate of, you know, a few hours than hanging up for minus 115. But if you are into futures, and there can be a viable market, you and I spoke about this last year as well. I think the most important thing is to determine a positive trajectory for that team if you're looking to go over, and in reverse for under, meaning I've had over win tickets on the Marlins and stuff like that. But when they overperform, they trade off everything that isn't nailed down and you end up not getting it anyway. So I like to build with teams that are looking forward and even have extra pieces. So, you know, I like Washington more than the market does. They have a couple of young pitchers that I like. They also have pieces coming up. You know, I think sometimes the market and projection systems at large can be slow to adjust to rookies and stuff like that. And the, you know, there's been quite a bit of that. Washington, right, that's kind of been their MO, collecting maybe, I don't want to say discarded prospects, because a lot of them are very young, Luis Garcia and CJ Abrams, you know, and then they got some of the retread guys, Jaime Candelario and Dom Smith, and all of a sudden, you've got a high-contact team causing trouble for everybody. Then Mackenzie Gore on the bump looking really good. I also like Arizona, so you can see where I'm going. I want teams that hit. You know, I'm a pitching guy, and I'll be honest, I kind of learned my lesson. I took a few black eyes early on where, and we've seen it, if you don't hit, you're not going to win right now. If you don't have an offense that gets on, runs, scores, stretches, and puts up crooked numbers, doesn't matter how well you pitch. Every night, it seems like an ace is getting rung up for not two or three, but like six or seven. So for me, it's about trajectory and it's about offense. I like Arizona, Washington, going forward, rest of the year. And my Reds, of course. Don't get me started on the Reds.
Arizona 89.5, their current season win total, and Washington 63. A robust 63 for the Washington Natties. It was Cincinnati you just mentioned there. What would you recommend betting on the Reds at this point, now the leaders in the NL Central?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of to the point that I mentioned before, and it's a, I would just call it a lagging effect, right? Something from the kind of trading terms that generally prospects can struggle. But once they don't struggle and they look good, I think you have to make that turn quick. And we're talking about Spencer Steer, one of the better rookies all year that no one's talking about. Matt McClain comes up for the Reds, and of course, Ellie De La Cruz. Then they're sitting on Encarnacion Strand. India bounced back healthy in a big way, double-digit steals and double-digit homers. Plus, the ballpark works at their advantage. They've done it with pitching, brought up Andrew Abbott, corrected Ashcraft. He should be back soon. They're waiting on Lodolo and Hunter Green. The Reds have a lot of good going on. Check this out. They're 3.5 games in front of the Cubs in the division, but are 5 times longer odds to win the World Series. I have a couple of bucks down on the Reds to win it all at 150-1. The Cubs are 30-1. So to me, it's just a severe misprice. And I think as the Reds kind of show everybody that they're real over the next couple of weeks, let's say after the All-Star break, I wouldn't be surprised if that number is lopped in half. Are they going to win the World Series? Probably not. But I've been backing it up with a plus 300 to make the playoffs as well, which I think makes for a really good hedge, because I really feel strongly about. Just make sure that the playoff bet covers the World Series bet. And then listen, it's a profitable venture.
All right, World Series 150-1 to make the playoffs 3-1. You do like something today in Major League Baseball as well.
Yeah, let's make a little bit of money today. And again, I've been very careful to not just look for pitching edges. I think we have a three-phase edge today. So we're going to go with the Marlins to cover up the run line, -1.5. That's not like plus 125, but you got to give me a 5-cent swing. The Jesus Lizard, Jesus Lizardo on the bump for Miami. He's been excellent. You got to ignore these surface stats. 409 ERA, I don't care. I don't care. The Sierra at 3.6, PFIP 3.6, 27K. Right, whenever you have that plus 20% K minus walk, plus 30% CSW, plus 30% whiff, 34 O-swing, really everything falling in place. And Lizardo has done his best pitching at home where he is today. So I'm really back in the Marlins. 212 batting average allowed at home, only 3/4 of a homer per 9. Pittsburgh, other side, Luis Ortiz has been, it's just the flip side. People see 4.3 ERA, but I see a 1.7 whip and a 6.8 expected ERA. Pittsburgh, dreadful against lefties. That offense that people were into first 60 days or so, I think they're in the down edge of the sine wave. Bottom 3 in the league in expected wOBA against lefties. That number is 286 for my models out there. That implies 2 to 3 runs. And if that doesn't do it for you, if we don't get it early, we should get it late, Gil. Pittsburgh bullpen atrocious right now. List 36 2/3. It's 14 days. That's a 10 ERA. I had to double check it. 2 whip, 325 batting average allowed, 2 home runs per 9. And the Miami bullpen's been very good since getting Puck back, but then Floro, those other guys falling in play. So I think Miami gets it early, gets it late. Given me to cover it, this one should be pretty easy, I hope.
Full game run line for John Legace on the Marlins. -1.5, plus 115. Always shop around for the best number in terms of your bang for your buck on that against the Buccos today. 6:40 p.m. Eastern, 3:40 Pacific. Real quick on the way out, because we got 20 seconds, I'm taking a survey. If Luis Arraez, by the way, I'm okay with your Marlins bet. As long as Arraez goes 2-for-5 or better, I'm cool with it. If he hits 400, is he the MVP no matter what? Yes or no?
No.
Oh. No.
Shohei Ohtani, man. It's just...
No, different league, man. Different league.
Oh, what am I talking about? Jeez.
Shohei and
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. AL. Hey, I don't really have an AL. I guess I don't really have an AL. So I'm so...
John, you're like, once you remove Shohei from the picture, maybe
I
so.
I can't. I'm obsessed. I'm sorry. And maybe, yeah, if you bat 400, let's give it to him.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Great seeing you.
Sorry.
John Legesa, straight from the stands at Yankee Stadium, right out of Central Cast. They love him. A little college baseball. Draft might have been the best sports betting thing. Well, it was good sports betting college, but what a game last night. Ben Wilson next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You see what Grady Dick was wearing last night during the NBA draft? Who told him to leave the house like that? Oh, I'm sorry, we're on air. Use a BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in, to claim, and to use the bonus bet after you log in. The bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Promotion may differ per customer. 21 and over to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY, that's 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. It's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in for the vacation, and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly taking a well-deserved vacation. I think it's a staycation for Kelly. I think his boys are in town. He's just hanging out, doing Kelly things.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did say that. So
I think so. Pretty sure. Which, by the way, mayhem could ensue. You never know with Kelly.
That's true. He said he was planning everything. So I totally know that feeling. And it's like, you're never in a good spot there because it's always either your fault or, like, nobody moves fast enough for you. That's just how I've experienced
it. His buddy Casey's in town. The guy that I famously say, everybody's got a Casey. So Casey's in town with him. So Kelly's off next week. You will be here one day next week. We'll talk again with Brian because, Brian, what's your podcast? What's it called?
Concierge Confidential.
Concierge Confidential.
Sick.
So we'll talk movies, the sort of halfway to the Oscars thing next week with you, TV shows, and what did you want to do? Hardest restaurants to get into in Vegas? What was that?
I know. I had that idea last night because you actually go to a specific restaurant that is actually one of the hardest places to get a res at in the entire city. So, I mean, major flex on your part for being able to do that.
It's my largest flex. It really
that was a tease. I didn't say what the restaurant was.
No, don't say that. We'll do it next week. And then Wyatt Tomchek will join us for the rest of next week. We look forward to that. Hopefully get some folks here in studio to chat with us as it is late June and early July. Let's talk some college basketball. Now, however inartfully I said this before the break, what I was trying to say was the NBA draft was the greatest betting vehicle of the day yesterday for sure. We still had the ATM machine that is unders in the College Baseball World Series, though. That continued yesterday. Hope everybody cashed in on that. Don't know how that game opened at 11, ended up 7.5. It was still under, easy breezy. For those who rode the LSU plus 230 before the game last night, that remains alive because the best thing in sports, beyond sports betting last night, was absolutely the rubber match between Wake Forest and LSU yesterday. LSU wins it in the 11th on a two-run shot to knock out Wake Forest, and now it's Florida and LSU in the College World Series. Coin flip, best of three. Ben Wilson, who has been kind enough to join us all throughout this year's College World Series and last year's. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll be the most famous man at VSiN. He's kind enough to join us right now. How you doing, Ben?
That statement true only because you have taken me to said very exclusive restaurant in the past, Gil.
So, that's
why that is a thing. Yes.
Why that is a thing.
And as somebody who I can relate to Kelly, somebody who helped plan Jeff Parle's entire bachelor party while simultaneously trying to call multiple conference tournament college basketball games and then driving back and forth between bachelor party venues. That was quite the weekend.
You gave a great best man speech, by the way. You were very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. Yes.
How long did you practice that, by the way? And be honest. Don't say I just showed up and just went up from the heart. Don't say that.
I thought about it in the shower a couple times. You know, it's okay. One of those, you're in the you get the thoughts going, and I had it all up in the cabeza. I didn't want to be that guy reading off, I'm a professional broadcaster. I didn't want to read off a script.
That's right. So good for you.
I had to do it from the heart.
From the cabeza. Yes. Brian, you understand what he meant by that, Brian Ortega?
That means head in Spanish. I got that one.
There we go. Brian
Thank
Ortega.
You, way to go. I'm making sure he's up and at him this morning. Yes. unlike me yesterday, Gil, I was so frustrated that I think I woke up at about 7:08 a.m. yesterday. Immediate look at my phone. See that LSU Wake Forest game opened 11.5 about 45 minutes prior and was already down to 8.5. And I was like, me waking up at 7:08 a.m. might have been the biggest mistake of my sports betting career. Quite possible.
Dude, I bet it at 7.5. I'm serious. Like, whoever opened that at, like, how that got open at 11, I don't know. First of all, it was Paul Skeens going up against Louder for Wake Forest. They're two aces. It was, I said earlier in the show, and apologies to those who have Florida bets, because I know you still are alive and you have things to hope for here. But that felt like the NCAA baseball championship last night, that game. Did it not to you?
Oh, no doubt. That's the greatest game, greatest college baseball game I've ever watched.
Me too.
And, you heard all the, if you watch any of the press conferences last night, I mean, most of the coaches, most of the media people who've covered this stuff a lot longer than I have basically said that. And so now, yeah, here we go. It's pretty much a pick 'em. I mean, the one question I have is honestly, the most impressive part of this LSU run, it was not Skeens last night, because you just assumed that was going to happen. And it was only a matter of time before LSU somehow found a way with how amazing that pitching matchup was. It's the fact that LSU
in 18 combined innings in the two previous had to win them elimination games, basically went with a pseudo bullpen game and gave up two combined runs. That, I mean, that was the Achilles heel of this LSU team all along. So I'm now sitting here left to believe, okay, is this going to come crashing back down to earth in like a pseudo Oral Roberts way? Or is this something real? Because Florida clearly has the overall pitching edge, because I mean, Paul Skenes, again, this series starts tomorrow, goes Sunday, Monday. So Skenes, we're not going to see him at all. You have a much more, you know, back down to earth type level of general pitching here for LSU. And Florida's three starters, you have Brandon Sproat, Hurston Waldrop, and Jack Caglione. The first two guys I mentioned have been amazing. Like, out of nowhere, that was the Achilles heel of Florida all the regular season, was that they didn't have reliable starting pitching. Well, now they're going at least six innings basically every single start, and with really good efficiency. So you have to give the Florida the edge from that standpoint. LSU over the season has had better hitting numbers, which is why I think you're seeing this evened out. I mean, it's one of those things where based on the number, I would naturally gravitate toward Florida. But I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand why, from the LSU perspective, they've made it work now.
Oh no, I mean,
these previous two games. So I think it is a coin flip, though.
What you're saying is 100% true. By the way, Skenes yesterday, Paul Skenes, who again we've said on this show, this he's the biggest pitching prospect since Steven Strasburg to come out of college, expected to be the number two overall pick in the upcoming baseball draft, MLB draft. Skenes last night, 8 innings, 9 Ks. Gave up 2 hits on 120 pitches, 82 of which were strikes. By the way, Lauder for Wake Forest went 7 strong Amazing. And only gave up 3 hits. I mean, on 88 pitches, he was great too. But you're absolutely right. The reason that I bet LSU before that game is was to get the plus 230, right? And assume Skenes won it for them, which they eked it out in 11. Tommy White, 2-run blast off the first pitch from Menace. I felt so bad for that kid on Wake. So that's why I bet it then. But you're right. Like, because Skenes pitched, the starting pitching does set up nicer for Florida. But now you said something in there, Ben, that I want to sort of double back on, which is you said Skenes would not be available for any of it. It's Saturday. It's Sunday. It's, by the way, it's a best of three now. It's very simple. It's no more double elimination. Right. Best of three, simple best of three series starting tomorrow. You don't think Skenes would be available on Monday for the rubber match if it went to that?
Not as a starter. I could see them. There have been rumors this entire postseason that if it was in a gotta have it must win, you know, elimination type situation, whether that was a game three of a super regional, whether it was the final game of the regional where they started him game one of that, that he could be used in a bullpen scenario. I wouldn't rule out Skenes being used, just not as a, I kind of mean within the prism of, he's not going to start and throw 120 pitches, you know, as a starting pitcher. I just don't see that on 3 days rest, as much as I'm sure these coaches would love to just run these guys' arms as far as they humanly can. They also have to be cognizant of these guys as prospects going forward and the like for that. But no, it wouldn't shock me if he was used as a bullpen option.
Yeah.
If we were to get to Monday, just, you aren't going to see him in a super high pitch count role.
I would agree with that. But I do think in a mad bum, game seven against the Royals 2014 kind of way, maybe not 5 innings like Mad Bum, who should have gone straight to the Hall of Fame from there. But I think Skenes is the looming specter, if you will, for LSU. But by the way, shout out to Brad Porras, because he said, he's an SEC snob on this, and it became Florida and LSU in the end. This has been awesome. It's been an underfest. Is your immediate thought to go under here again in game one?
It is, with the issue is just on, the LSU side. I just want to see, and I assume we'll get the number two starter, Ty Floyd, who has been, I mean, pretty solid. So that would be the thought. And it's amazing too. You watch how these games play out. Like, how many balls have you seen, Gil? They're just smoked off the bat. Sound the aluminum makes.
Love it.
And then it's a ball that's hit to the warning track. And so I had the 40-1 TCU ticket. Fortunately had a pretty good, good amount. I bet on Florida in that elimination game, but that ball hit by Braden Taylor, I'm like, that thing he hit, I'm like, that's 500 feet. And it was caught, that's kind of how this whole tournament has played out. Big dimensions, wind blowing in. And yeah, you're right. I mean, the bookmakers continue to not adjust. And especially last night, that has just baffled my mind.
It's amazing. You go from Rosenblatt to Charles Schwab and it becomes an underfest in the College World Series. Ben, enjoy, man. It's going to be great. And again, great speech. And, maybe farm yourself out as a business, side business. Wedding speech guy.
I'll consider it. Right. Thanks, Gil.
Ben Wilson, everybody. At Ben_Wilson_1 on the Twitter machine. Adam Finkelstein, College Hoops. His thoughts on the draft next.